And all things are possible now that you're here. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day, knowing that it's raining out yet, Lord, in our hearts, it's raining your word. And so, Father, we know that your word means everything to us. And so, Father, we just come before you in your presence, knowing that you're still here and knowing that you're getting us ready to take us home. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, this morning we're going to look at Satan's Eating number 110, and it'll be Depression, Judgment, Financial Meltdown. So we're going to look at the financial meltdown that was foreordained by God to hit the entire world. From Jezebel Religion, Brother Ram said, when God sends forth a message and tells the people and they don't receive it, then he withdraws his servant and sends his plagues, famine, death, spiritually speaking, physical also. You watch for a depression, brother. You think you've seen something. You just wait after a while. You haven't seen nothing. You think you're dying for a good spiritual revival. You wait till after a bit. You just wait long and cry and hear the word of God. The Bible said so. There'd be famine in the lands in the last days, says the prophet, and not for bread and water alone, but for hearing the true word of God. But that voice will be quiet in the wilderness somewhere. Hid away, he ordained the ravens, his servants, blessed them birds, his servants, that kept the voice of Elijah alive during the time of the isolation, of the church. All right, so we're coming into a global meltdown, and it's actually it's going to be quite tremendous because I've been studying up a lot on this subject, and you know, when countries go to 0% interest rates, that means that they have to keep them down because they owe so much. And if they allowed even 1%, 1% on a $30 trillion loan is mega billion. So, you know, so they have to do it just to keep things going. All right. And they're going to come to a place where they're going to do away with your dollars, and they're going to go to in July, they're supposed to go to a CBD, which tells me that basically, you know, it's nothing but air, okay? It's nothing but air. But, you know, if you go to this church or you don't believe a certain way, they're going to shut you down. They'll shut down your bank accounts and everything else. So we are getting very, very close to going home. I would like to continue with the thought here now from the book of Daniel about the world ruler who would come in as a spoiler and spoil the plans of the rebellious leaders and make manufacturing increase. Let me read it again for you. Then we'll proceed to Daniel chapter 9, where we'll pick up for our teaching this morning. Now, we took our thoughts from Brother Ram's sermon on the unveiling of God, where he said he had just spoke on those on the outside looking in who could not see the word as it comes to pass. Then he said, they know the glory, they read of it, it's in the word here, and the glory of God and the things like that is just a word to them. To us, it's a manifestation. See, it is no more a word, it's a reality. Amen. So, you know, these brothers who have gotten a shot and they've done certain things and they just don't believe. I mean, God's prophet told us it would become germ warfare, and it has come. Revelation said they would not buy or sell. It has already come, and we have a trailer, so to speak. We have he showed us what it would be like. Now, that itself, the shot, you know, was not the mark of the beast. You know, we know the mark of the beast is to reject the word, but it is going to have to do with the economy because they won't buy or sell. So they have a number. You have a number, so you can't buy or sell. And therefore, if you don't take the number, you can't buy or sell. So basically, without it, you are stuck, okay? And if you take it, you are stuck because you're going to go into the World Council churches, and I've got a sermon on that coming up. But Anyway, so Brother Branham, in his audio letter to Brother Vail, he said, because if they only see in our past, then there's no hope for the church. The church must see it in the present tense. So God sends his prophet to manifest present tense of it, you see, and then after it's over, then it is a history. Now, Brother Branham said also in his sermon, Anointed Ones of the End Time, I am sent me, I am, not I was, nor I will be, I am, present tense, the word now. Not the word that was, the word that will come, but the word that is now, you see. You get it. Okay. And then in the sermon, Anointed Ones of the End Time, he said, for it is impossible for those which were once enlightened and didn't move on with the word as it come to pass, they are dead, they are gone. So when I hear of ministers who make mockery of the germ warfare that's upon the earth and will come upon the earth again because they already have labeled what the next one is, and so they're going to keep them coming until we are killed off, all of us. And, those people who make mockery and say, oh, I don't believe that. Well, you know what? They're lost. I'm sorry, but they just are lost, and they don't believe a vindicated prophet. So what good does it do to send them money because they don't believe a vindicated prophet? So so they're dead and they're gone. So the church must see it in the present tense or she's dead and gone. Now, if we're not seeing these things, then we're pretty sick people. We got our head in the sand. All right. We're listening to MSNBC or CNN or one of those wonderful government paid for news realcasts. Okay. Now, if we take this back to the unveiling of God, what Brother Branham said, it's just a word to them. To us, it's a manifestation. See, it's no more a word. It's a reality. And we know that the word revelation means a manifestation of divine truth. Therefore, the word manifested is a revelation. Is the manifestation, is the right interpretation of the word, for God interprets his word by bringing it to pass. So last week we showed you in Daniel, or not last week, but about actually a couple of years ago, in Daniel 8:28 is a time that we're now living in, that we were these past year, few years. So we began to teach on the end time depression judgment, but before we could do that, I had for a background a little. I took you to scripture to show you where we are today, in which time everything is being set up for that time. Because Brother Branham, in the first seal, goes to the book of Daniel, the 9th chapter, to show us where the Pope will make a pact with the Jewish bankers. So we had to see what happens before that time, and it's very clear we're reading in the previous chapter. So we're going to go back to chapter 8. Now, where the vision shows us to Daniel, says, in the latter times of their kingdom, when the transgressors, and that is the rebellion against God, which has already happened in this hour, where they have put God outside of government institutions, they've taken down the Ten Commandments from the courthouses, the DNC took God out of their platform, their political platform, and where God in prayer has been taken out of the schools. They've taken God out of the public forum, like newspapers and news media and radio and TV. They've even taken God out of the churches, according to Revelation 3. And we have seen the word in this hour being fulfilled over the past 40 years or so. So the rebellion has come to the full. The cup of iniquity is now full. Daniel 9 says, he tells us what makes up the rebellion, Daniel 9:5. We have sinned and we have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled. How? Even by departing from thy precepts, which is thy word, and from thy judgment. Therefore have we hearkened unto the servants of the prophet, which spake in the name of our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. In other words, they're listening to the false ministry, which says, oh, everything's going to be fine. It's going to return to normal. It's everything's just take, you know, the thing and move on with life, and everything's going to return, and realizing that everything doesn't return to normal. Okay? And then once this scene is set, Daniel tells us a vision, says, a king fierce of countenance, a king of fierce countenance, who speaks strong and harsh words, and one who understands dark sentences shall stand up. Now, we saw how this king, or world ruler, will be a master of puzzles, a master of riddles and intrigue, which I mentioned that it sounds to me like, you know, the Q phenomena, because, you know, Q Plus was the president, and you can read it all, you know, all the postings and stuff like that. So we see that this king is a world ruler who will come on the scene speaking tough and rough, and will be involved with communications that seems to look like an enigma. In other words, to say certain things might happen and this and that. And his power, which means his vigor or his energy, and his high capacity to produce, shall be mighty, but not by his own power. Okay, in other words, he will come accomplishing what no other man has accomplished, and yet the vision tells us it is not the man doing this, but God is by grace giving this, you know, God is gracing this ruler to do these things. Well, now when we saw the return to, you know, from unemployment to employment, from no job to jobs, you know, we saw the good things. You know, they want to give credit to a man, and I can understand, you know, him doing so, or people doing so, but actually it's God that allowed this to happen, because Daniel 8 takes place before Daniel 9. Okay, now remember, God interprets his word but bring it to pass. So all we have to do is look at all that this king, this world ruler, this man who's appointed to power, and look at what he has done. And it's very apparent it is not talking about some king in some remote kingdom, and he does not play on a world stage. It speaks of someone who comes in and is a mover and a shaker, and more notably, he comes as a spoiler, because it says he comes to bring ruin and spoil the plans of the mighty. Now, what's interesting is what's the right word? All the world leaders who were paying homage to President Trump when he was president, like in Saudi Arabia, they actually gave the king's sword to him, and they did all this dancing and stuff like that. And even in Jerusalem, you know, when he made the Jerusalem the capital of the of Israel, and they were, you know, everybody was kind of kissing his boots. But the thing is, look at exactly what happened when the Vatican destroyed him by taking away his vote. All of them turned coat. Why? Because the real power is the Vatican. Okay? That's what I want to say. Therefore, we see by coming to pass the fulfillment of this prophecy that would have President Donald John Trump, because he has never been a president like him, but we've never seen it in this country nor in the history of the world. And even look at this president, okay? He did things with his own ego. He pushed a vaccine upon the world, and that vaccine has set the stage for the reduction of people in this world. So, you know, the man is just a man, and he did what he was supposed to do, but he's still being manipulated because he's a man. And he's following a pope instead of a vindicated prophet. All right? So, people have tied him to be like Cyrus. And Cyrus, of course, was named in the Bible 170 years before, you know, thou shalt be built, you know, and forecast, you know, God that he'd be a servant, that he would rebuild the temple. Okay, so God prophesied that Cyrus would assist in the rebuilding of the temple, and Daniel lived during the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, during the Jewish captivity in Babylon, and then Darius, and finally Cyrus, where he consulted with Cyrus in Daniel 11 and 23, and his estate, his office, shall stand up, shall rise, a vile person. All right, so this is after Chapter 8, Trump is off the scene. We're talking about a vile person here. What's a vile person? Let's just say a pedophile, because that's about as vile as you can get. All right, so a pedophile will rise up in his stead, okay? Let's just say it that way. To whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom. He's not really given the honor, because, let's face it, he doesn't even take questions, you know? I mean, he hasn't had, you know, what I've had, and yet, you know, he's completely, just kind of he's gone, okay, mentally gone. But he should come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flatteries, you see? And with the arm of the flood, or overwhelming political force, shall they be overthrown, swept away from before him, and shall be broken, yea, also the prince of the covenant, and after the league made with him. He shall work deceitfully. He shall come up and shall become strong with a small people. In other words, Vatican City is a small state. Okay. In other words, look. I said when we were into Daniel 8 that Trump would be waylaid, basically. The Pope, he'd stand up against the Pope, but then he'd be put in his place. He'd be destroyed. He's not going to come back. I'm sorry, but people are looking for him to come back. But, this one comes in peaceably. He's not coming in peaceably. So, and this one makes a pact with the Vatican. I it's funny because there's all these memes out there about, Bernie. And this president is like Bernie. And, in other words, he was dead, but he was having parties and everything else. This man is basically a walking dead man, and yet he will be voted in again. There's no doubt that either he will, if he doesn't, they'll put somebody else in there, but they won't put Trump in there. They're gonna find something to get him on, and if it comes down to the vote, and he's still in by that time, you'll find that they've got the machines already cranked out. Brother Brown said they do, that they'll get their man in there. So whether Biden is dead or not, he will be elected. They might elect a dead man. You'd be surprised, but they might elect a dead man. And it wouldn't, wouldn't surprise me one bit that he's dead and he's elected, because the people are so stupid. And even if they wake up, it's not in time, because you need to have a tidal wave to completely wipe out, all the strong points of government in this nation, it's going to get corrupter and corrupter and corrupter. So anyway, so then we go to Daniel 8, or Daniel 11. and in the state, okay, so we've read this already. So Daniel 12. And at that time shall Michael, which is Christ, stand up or come on the scene and present himself. Well, this we are gone for. This is when he comes for the Jews and for his people. And there shall be a time of trouble, distress, binding, or squeeze, or tribulation, such as never was since there was a nation, even to the same time. And at that time thy people, thy kingdom, shall be delivered, slip out unknown to safety. Everyone that shall be found written in the book, or in the genealogical record, okay? So, anyway, I want you to notice this next verse, because it provides us a clue to the time of this great escape, okay? And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. This is a general resurrection. In other words, this will be at the time of the second resurrection. And they that be wise, this speaks of the wise virgin, shall shine or send forth light by warning and teaching, and this teaching shall be as bright as a firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars, brothers, or forever and forever. So really, we're gone, okay? but we're still, in that other dimension, we are still shining like lights, because you can't put it out. We are going to come back to this earth. But thou, Daniel, shut up the words of this book, seal the book, even to the time of the end, in which time many shall run to and fro, now shall increase. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood two, the one on this side of the bank of the river, and the one on the other side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man, clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, swear by him that lives forever and ever, that there should be a time, that's one, times, that's two, and a half a time, that's 3.5 years, okay? 3.5, and when he shall have accomplished or brought to a finish, or to scatter which is the shattering breaking of the power of the holy people, God's set aside, Jews, all these things shall be finished. So, in other words, you have to get to that pact. Once the pact is set, then the Jews have the power, it looks like, but the Vatican brings them down by not going along with the pact. Now, the pact is this, and you know, we've had Brother Branham say, well, you know, they can never change the dollar because, you know, the whiskey men and all this other, they have their dollars. And so, you know, so what he says, so what they'll do is the Vatican will step in and she'll back the dollar. And basically then they are all sold out. So all these things shall be finished. And I heard, but I understand not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he saith, he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words of, are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Okay. Which, you know, the end time is, notice the end time is, for us Gentiles is a rapture. But for the Jews, it's 3.5 years later. You know, they have to go through tribulation period. Right. And when is that? When the seven seals were opened, at that time, everything will be in place for the fulfillment of the scripture. Now, many shall be purified by the washing of water, by the word. Ephesians 5:26 says, by the washing of the word. And Psalms 119 says, how does a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed to the word and made right, white and tried. But the wicked shall be wicked, shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. Now, I know that you people realize what's coming. And you realize that, you know, it's a, but the people around you don't. You know, you can talk to them till you're blue in the face and they just don't understand. They think, you know, well, somehow, you know, somebody will come in riding on a, you know, on a, and be your savior. You know, they're looking for Trump to be your savior. Well, I'm sorry, but they're, the people are, Trump's not going to be saving anybody. So anyway, Luke 21:25, and there shall be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars. Now NASA has discovered that there are hundreds of asteroids that are heading into our path, and many are already being seen all over the world. And it has something to do with the solar system, a huge comet that has a long tail made up of a thousand upon thousands of meteors will fall into the earth in its path. And upon the distress of nations, with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and looking for those things that are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the cloud with power and great glory. Now, even to the point where the mega volcano in Yellowstone, which is 26 miles across, it's interesting because that's also the size of the cloud, but it will blast, and they're looking for it to happen. I can't remember his name. He's a Japanese scientist. His name, Michi or something like that. Anyway, he says it's going to happen this year. So if that does, I mean, we will have at least 3 inches of soot all over Ohio. So, and when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draws nigh. And he spake to them a parable. Behold, the fig trees and all the trees, when they now shoot forth, you see and know of your own selves that summer is nigh now at hand. So likewise ye, when you see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Now, I would just like to say this. You know, we've sent $1.3 trillion already to Ukraine. Now, I don't know if you are aware, but, you know, a trillion is a thousand billions. Now, if we sent $1.3 trillion over there, you know, I mean, that number is so astronomical that they could have basically everything that the United States has. But they're not getting it. They're getting some things. They're, what they do is, okay, I will give you $10. We're going to hide $9, and so you spend $100 or $1. And that's basically what they're doing. And all these secret things going on. You know, I didn't realize there was 40 germ labs over in Ukraine alone. There's thousands of pedophilia. There's 10,000 this year alone of young children just disappearing. Okay, it is big. It is big, big, big. And in this country, they say there's 100 billion, I mean, 100,000 children disappear every year. And they're saying 800,000 children disappear. And there's 230,000 in Saudi Arabia alone. There's 80,000 in Germany. So, you know, the children are being used for body parts and everything else, you know, and it's just atrocious. I mean, how do you think a man like Kissinger is living to be 100 years old. He's not taking adrenal, you know, stuff. They're just wicked people, and it's getting wickeder. So, likewise, when you see these things come to pass, know you that the kingdom of God is not at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And take heed to yourself, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that that day come upon you unaware. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape those things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the presence, which means it's a Greek word, aprosing, and it means in the presence of the Son of Man. Well, we've already done that. And now he just says, watch. Watch therefore and pray always, that you be not, that you be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass. So these things are coming to pass. Some things we're already seeing, but the rest of them will be caught up before them. So what, how close are we? I don't know. Now, watch, what is this distress of nations and why is it so perplexing? This is what we must know if we are to understand why everyone on earth is going to be affected, okay? The word distress is a Greek word, sunoki, which means a narrowing or constraining or press. In other words, to hold together with constraint, to press on every side, like the forcing of a ship into a narrow channel or the forcing of an animal into a position where it cannot move so the farmer can't administer medication. Well, that's exactly, we've already been through this, right? All right. From this, we can see that the whole world is being pushed or squeezed into a universal condition from all sides in order to receive the medication called the New World Order or One World Government. And then we see that the world will be perplexed by the squeeze, and the word perplexed means that they are confused and don't understand what really is happening, and thus begins the panic. Now remember, Brother Ram said that the world must come into this neurotic condition, and first stage of neurosis is anxiety, which is to worry about what might happen. In Luke 21 and 26 says, men's hearts failing for fear and for looking after these things which coming to the earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Hebrews 11:25 says, see that you refuse not him that speaketh. That was our prophet, okay? For if you escape not that refuse him that spake on earth, how much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Now remember, he said, I only say what the Lord told me to say. So whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more, I shake not the earth only, but also the heavens. And this word, yet once more, signifies the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made, and those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, we receive a kingdom which cannot be removed. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for God is a consuming fire or a great pillar of fire he resides in. All right, now from the message testimony that I was trying to say last night, the world's coming to a place, it's falling apart politically, socially, economically. You say economics, more money? Yes, but where's it coming from? We borrowed on taxes that would be paid 40 years from now. She is broke. She's bankrupt. You know, it's interesting. Very, very interesting that I think Clinton was the only president that's had a balanced budget in the last 40 years. And, you know, you look at where we're borrowing now, he says, in the 60s from what they're going to do at the turn of the 40 years, which would be about 2000. So anyway, she's broke, she's bankrupt, the nation, not this nation. And if you look at the curve of inflation, it all began with Clinton and just started going up. But all of them. And there's no way of ever getting back. And it's a trap set exactly to swing this nation into something. So the economy is a trap. Having things is a trap. All right. Having money in the bank is a trap. All right. It's all a trap because they will trap you and say, well, now you've got so much money in the bank, but you know what? You won't have it because you go to a certain church and you believe William Branham. And so, you know, we see that it's all a trap to swing this nation into something. And all of you are wise on that. Well, who's got the wealth of the world? Who holds it? Someone says Rome. Sure, it does. Rome holds it. And whenever we do, when we get broke, instead of these big merchants, tobacco, whiskey, and so forth, like have to get the money, what we'll have to do, either change the currency or borrow the money. What have they been doing? They haven't changed currency, so what have they been doing? Borrowing money. Well, you know, I don't know if Brother Branham ever suspected that they'd be borrowing $30 trillion. I mean, that's 30, that's three, that's 30,000 billion that they borrow. 30,000 billion. Back then it was 40 billion. Now it's 30,000 billion. I mean, you couldn't stack that money in this room. No way. But when we're broke, instead of these merchants, etc., all right, either they'll change the currency or borrow the money. And when they do, it's the birthright sold right back exactly just as perfect and just what the scripture says about it. I'd like to get a place sometime, the Lord willing, when a tent comes on the scene. And I believe that soon I'm going worldwide. And I got a worldwide meeting coming up. And I'd like to get a place where I could sit down about 6 weeks, just take those things and go through them, you see, back and forth through the scripture. And it's astounding to see the hour that we're living. It frightens me. It frightens me not because in my heart the joy bells are ringing, knowing that the coming of the Lord is so close at hand. But what frightens me is to know that so many is unprepared for the hour that we're facing. That's the bad part. How many's ever heard the story about the schools up there that time? Many, of course, I guess everywhere. A little something like that happened the other day, and you've heard the story about the mountains coming down when the Lord knows those things on the mountains. The other day, I'm not a preacher. Anybody knows I'm not a preacher. But it's made up in a spiritual form of watching things and seeing things move and forewarning people of things that's coming to pass. Now, this shows a dollar slide, okay? It's worth 3 cents right now. But my ministry, he says, is warning you. Well, what did he warn us of? Okay, the germ warfare. What are they saying? Oh, I don't believe that stuff. You know, I believe in serpent seed and things like that, but I don't believe, you know, in the stuff where he talks about germ warfare. I don't believe that the economy is going to be busted. You know, we're in Laodicea, rich and increased with goods. I just, you know, listen, when they get to that point, and they are, they're falling away. It's not soon afterwards they'll be doing other things. Like in the Philippines, they're all taking a bath together. I mean, they're taking with the clothes, they say with the clothes on. It doesn't matter. If you have a woman stand up and she got a wet t-shirt on, it's filthy. Just filthy. That's what they did in the 50s and, you know, in this country. Well, it's filthy anyway, and they're doing it over there. All right? and it's just, that's my makeup, and I can't help that no more than you can help your makeup. But God has put in each of us in the body of Christ to do certain things. And I watch every little move, every objective, every motive, because everything is governed by spirit. This church was put here for a purpose. There's a spirit behind this church, certainly. Spirit behind your home, behind every building, behind everything, there's a spirit, a motive, an objective. This church comes here to greatly exalt some human system or something, then its motive is not right. But if it's put here to try to achieve something for the kingdom of God, then the motive and objective both is right if the motive is directed that way. Well, most churches today are not here to preach the kingdom of God. They are here to preach themselves or their own kingdom. That's really too sad, but it happens. In October 1998, Walter Russell Mead wrote an article for Esquire magazine called Rule 1, Don't Panic. Rule 2, Panic First. That's what you have been watching the last 40 years, is Rule 1, Don't Panic, and then when everybody else panics, or excuse me, then they panic first, because then they get like SVB or whatever it's called, the place in California, the bank. Okay, who got their money back? The ones who panicked first. The other people said, we'll wait for the government to come out and bail us out. they wouldn't do it. So it's the ones who panic first are the ones who get out first, and then the thing goes down, okay? It spoke of the end game and how the world's economies were headed into a free fall of the world's currencies. There's a book called Windswept House, written by Malachi Martin. He said that the G5 summit, the original G5 summit, the sixth signer of the summit was the Secretary of State in the Vatican. So they are the ones who are putting together these economic summits. They are the ones who have done all these things. And now they are controlling the agenda, so to speak. Okay, the whole world is based on that. The whole economy of this nation is based upon a false conception. Now just think of that statement right there. The whole economy of this nation is based upon false conception. From the supernatural, he said, brothers and sisters, our great America and our great economy that we have is rotting under the foundations, and someday, I see it in the making right now, she'll lay in the ruins thereof. Now, I did a study this morning because I've had trouble with my tongue. There's an infection underneath, and I talked to the doctor about it, and they just gave me some stuff to take, but, you know, it's still here. And so I looked up the Novocaine, Prevocaine. Anyway, that she said, to, you know, this is the name of what we're using. I looked it up, and actually there's been a study by the Norwegians that, you know, that they are putting stuff into it. They have allocaine, and then they mix it with something else, and what they're doing is they're putting lipid nanoparticles. In other words, the nanoparticles that will harden up. In the study, they said after injection, the people, you know, before the injection, they're fine, they're healthy, everything else. After the injection, they were bleeding all the time. And that's what I have in my throat, near my tongue, under my tongue, is constant. It's not bleeding, but it's red, and you can see all the veins, and it's just, it's in terrible condition. So they're putting stuff in there, so, you know, I would just tell them no Novocaine, even though it hurts, or just forget, just put the thing off until you're ready to get out of here, because it's not worth it. I mean, you know, it's not worth it. Okay. From the supernatural, brothers and sisters, our great America and our great economy that we have is rotting under the foundation, and someday, I see it in the making right now, she'll lay in the ruins. Now, how did he know these things? He was a prophet. That's all I can explain to you. He saw it coming. He saw in a seed form what we are now seeing in a manifested form. Okay, so let's see the game that they're playing. I guess all we have to do is look at the last 50 years or so and see every time that we have had what we call a recession actually is an excuse to borrow more money. Congress can't get enough money since they print more than the last year and the dollar gets depreciated. That's a informal taxation on you people because your dollar buys you less. So it's a way of taxing you. All right. Now, Congress will vote themselves more money to spend every time the fiscal year ends, thus increasing the money in the world, which decreases the value of your money. You can see it in 1950, it was basically, you know, the chart was at zero, and now it's gone up to almost $25 trillion. That was in 2010. It's already $7 trillion just under Biden. So, you know, we're approaching actually $230 trillion. I mean, Trump spent, what, $4 trillion or $5 trillion. So it's just going up. There's been printing more money, and every time, you know, Congress wants more money, they just print themselves more money. Well, let's just raise the ceiling, or let's just, you know, keep it going. And your money is worth 3 cents. Just think, every time they bail out someone considered too big to fail, you pay the price in higher prices for your goods. As you can see by what Brother Branham said, the U.S. Department was in $40 billion range. That's back in the beginning of this chart, and you see it is now at a $25 trillion raise, all right? Our debt is approaching $30 trillion, a sum we will never be able to pay off. It means we are at $1 trillion a year just to pay the interest on our debt. But Congress borrows more from the Fed, which is made up of six foreign banks who just print the digits and then sell them using bonds to pay them back. But they don't actually print the money. They just run up the digits, but we have to pay them back in printed money. What a gimmick. In other words, I come to you with Monopoly money and give you $100 worth of Monopoly money, but when you pay it back, you got to pay me a real $100 plus the interest on it. I mean, it's just a joke. That would be like buying nothing but air and calling it money. Congress just votes themselves a higher debt ceiling each year when they run out of money, and by 2023, we're approaching $30 trillion. It can never be paid off, thus ensuring we are a debtor nation. Well, if we are a debtor nation, and UK is a debtor nation, all the G20 or whatever, G40 something, I mean, they're all debtor nations now. Well, who do they borrow the money from? All right? There's only one place that has all the gold. All right, so that's why the BRICS nations have trying to get away from the influence of the U.S. because they don't want to be a debtor nation. And Russia has less debt than California has. So, but Congress just votes themselves a higher debt ceiling each year when they run out of money, and by 2023 it'll be $30 trillion. It can never be paid off, thus ensuring we are indebted to someone. Well, who's that someone going to be? It's going to be the Vatican. All right. The recession of 2002 led to the recession of 2007 and 8, when the last of the real statesmen left with Eisenhower, and he warned us of the military-industrial complex. The Kennedy generation took over, and they knew nothing of what led to the Great Depression, so they just spent away and slowly but surely into a great debt. They got us into Vietnam War, and just spent more money on ammunition and just, you know, blowing big holes in the ground and whatever. And we have been in one war or another ever since Vietnam. I showed you a list of wars last week. It was just boom, 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 boom. Just one war after another. Spend the money, spend the billions, spend the trillions. Then under Johnson, he had a great society. He started trying to buy the friendship around the world at the expense of the taxpayer. And they have changed the language to change policy. And they came up with a number of con games on the American people. The spending increased over time slowly, but soon the billions became trillions in debt. You know, I remember when Obama was president, you know what? We were only like maybe seven or something like that trillion in debt. Where are we today? 30 trillion. You see how fast it's going? It's incredible. The spending increased over time slowly, but soon billions became trillions. Meantime, the dollar with more spending decreased in buying power, so that we called devaluation. That $1 in 1910 could buy in material goods $1 worth. Now that $1 can only buy you 3 cents worth. How many remember the penny candy bars and gumballs and, you know, or nickel candy bars, and they were huge compared to today. Now they're about this big, and they cost, you know, three times as much. In 1971, when Nixon took the U.S. off the gold standard, we had lost at that point 65% of our gold. It used to be that when an economy got got out of order in a recession, a recession would take place and the companies who were not managed right would fold and capitalism would reward its competitors with new and better opportunities. Always there was a survivor. But we won't allow recessions anymore. When's the last time you heard we're in a recession? You know, they might talk about we're headed for one, but then we never get there. Why? Because the Fed steps in and bails us out, all right? But we won't allow recessions anymore. Instead, governments step in and choose the winners and the losers, and we call that crony capitalism. So we had to change the language, and so programs like the Ninja Loans, where a person need no income, no job, and no asset, that's what ninja meant, and they could get a house. Of course, people took advantage of that, which led to the housing collapse of 2008. Then a few more led to the bailout called TARP, Trouble Asset Relief Program. TARP was designed to help out companies in trouble, except Lehman Brothers, which competed against Goldman Sachs, which the Treasury Secretary, Mr. Paulson, had been the chairman of. So they got the help, but his competitors went under. Okay? Then we come up with words like QE, or quantitative easing, and had QE1, QE2, QE3, etc. So every time Congress outspent their budget, they just called it QE1, 2, and 3, etc., and gave them more digits to spend. Now, when's the last time Congress has had a budget? And when's the last time they've had a budget that is not, that they have enough money to cover the budget? Never. Not in our lifetimes, okay? The Fed balance sheet is 9 times greater than it was before the 2008 crisis. But you see, that is only one of the curses of Deuteronomy 28 for forsaking the voice of God and not hearkening to it. Now, let me read just the economic curses for you so that you will see them for yourselves. However, if you do not obey the Lord your God and do not carefully follow all of his commands and decrees I am giving you today, all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. Verse 16, you will be cursed in the city and cursed in the country. 17, your basket and your kneading trough will be cursed. 18, the fruit of your womb will be cursed in the crops of your land and the calves of your herds and the lambs of your flocks. 19, you will be cursed when you come in and cursed when you go out. 20, the Lord will send you curses, confusion, and rebuke in everything you put your hand to until you are destroyed and come to sudden ruin because of the evil you have done in forsaking him. You will build a house, verse 30, but you will not live in it. How many houses got started and didn't finish? How many people lost their homes, you know, when they had the Great Recession, okay? Your sons and your daughters will be given to another nation, and you will wear out your eyes watching for them day after day. In other words, how many of our children have been sent overseas to fight wars that we're not involved with? You know, we're policing the world. It's ridiculous. There's in 200 nations. Powerless to lift a hand. A people that you do not know will eat what your land and labor produce, and you will have nothing but cruel oppression all the days. In other words, they will ship your sons off to war to fight other people battles, and they will rob your children and rob your women and children through the sex trading. And can't you see what is happening right as you watch and you're helpless to do anything about it? You will have sons and daughters. You will not keep them because they will go into captivity. The foreigner, men like Kissinger, a Jew, he's from Nazi Germany, and others like Soros, a Hungarian Jew, who sold out his birthright to become a Nazi, came to America. And Karl Schwab, all these WEF people who reside among you will rise up above you higher and higher, but you will sink lower and lower. They will lend to you. Who are the bankers? Foreigners. You will not lend to them. They will be the head, but you will be the tail. And all these curses will come upon you. They will pursue you and overtake you until you are destroyed because you did not obey the Lord your God and observe the commands and the decrees he gave you. So America sold its birthright among nations like Esau did with his brother and turned down the voice of God for what they thought was prosperity by but it turned into the curse. Okay. From the first seal, we're just about done. Now watch. In the end time, not in the early days when Christ was preaching, but in the end time, the last part of the week where we just took the 70 weeks of Daniel and Christ was prophesied for 3.5 years and 3.5 years are yet determined. Is that right? And this prince in that time is to make a covenant with Daniel's people, which is the Jews. That's when the bride's taken out. So we are at the point of when we go home, they make the covenant. Okay, that's when we're taken out. This prince makes a covenant with Rome, makes a covenant with them, no doubt, for the wealth, for Catholic and Jew, holds the wealth of the world. I was in the Vatican. I've seen the Triple Crown. I got to go to all through the Vatican. Why, you couldn't buy it with $100 billion. Now, he said that in 1960. $100 billion, 1960. No, that was at a rate of $30 per ounce in the 60s. Today, gold is 40 times higher at actually not even 1,200. It's actually about 2,200. Therefore, a billion would be over 1 quadrillion. Can you imagine the number 1 quadrillion? I think if you try to count up to 1 quadrillion, it would probably take you 40 years. I mean, it's incredible what that number is. Multiply it times the difference between 30 and 1,200. I'm going to have to change it to 2,200 because I put this sermon together in 2016, and it was $1,200 back then. Why? He says, why you just think? The wealth of the world, the Bible said, was found in her. All just think think of the great places of billions of times. Why didn't communism raise up over here in Russia? It just makes me sick at my stomach to hear so many preachers hollering about communism, and they don't even know that they're crowing about. That's right. Communism ain't nothing. It's a tool in the hands of God to bring revenge upon the earth for the blood of the saints. That's right. And after the church is taken away, Rome and the Jews will make a covenant with one another. The Bible says so. They would do it with the holy people. And now notice that they make it. They'll make it because why? This nation is going to be busted. And the rest of the world that's on the gold standard is busted. And you know that. If we're living off taxes, due bills for 40 years from now, where are we at? There's only one thing we can do. That's to call in the currency and pay off the bonds, and we can't do it. Wall Street owns them. And the Wall Street's controlled by the Jews, and the rest of it's controlled by the Vatican. And the Jews have got the rest of it in Wall Street with the commerce of the world. We can't call it in. If we could do it, you think these whiskey guys, these tobacco people with billions times billions of dollars each year and write them off their income tax for old vulgar pictures and things like that, go out in Arizona there and buy a million acres of land or a thousand and dig them wells, big wells at $50,000 and pay it off in income tax. In other words, they dig those wells and instead of having to pay taxes, they just write it off. It's a write-off, okay? And they put you in jail if you don't pay yours. But they write it off and throw up wells and send bulldozers in. And what do? They put housing projects in there, and the next turnaround with their money they made, they have got to make investment and put houses, projects in there and sell them for millions of dollars. Who do you think them guys going to compromise to change the currency? Like this fellow down here, Castro, did. He done the only smart thing he ever did do when he destroyed the bonds. He paid them off and destroyed them. Notice, we can't do that. These guys won't do it. Let the rich merchants of the earth hold it, and then they'll do only one thing. There'll only be one thing left to do. The Catholic Church can pay it off. She's the only one that's got the money. She can do it, and she will do it. And in doing this to get it, she'll compromise with the Jews and make a covenant. And when she makes this covenant with the Jews, now remember, I'm taking this from Daniel, from the scriptures. And now when she does and makes this covenant, we notice in Daniel 8:23-25, he'll cause craft to prosper. And craft is manufacturing in his hand and make his covenant with the Jews. You know, see, here's the thing. You know, you say, well, Trump's not a Jew. But his son-in-law is. He's just as tied with the Jews as anybody else, you know. And he's already, he's just part of the system. And he makes his covenant with the Jews. And in the midst of 3.5 years, he breaks his covenant as soon as he gets the thing wrapped up and gets the money of the Jews tied up. And when he does that, oh my, he's called the Antichrist until the end of the church age, for he and his children are against Christ and the Word. This man's called the Antichrist. Now he's going to hold the money, and that's where I think he'll come in. Now, see, this Pope is with the Jews right here. All right? Just a minute. While I say this, that I want to go back in a minute. He's called the Antichrist and will be called Antichrist in the sight of God until the end time. But now then, he'll be called something else. And now, when he gets the money all under control, then he'll break this covenant with the Jew, as Daniel here said he would do it, and in the midst of the last half of the 70 weeks of Daniel. Then, brother, what will he do? We'll have all the world trade and commerce impact with the world. Because He'll hold the wealth of the world completely. And during that time, them two prophets will rise on the scene and call 144,000. Then what will take place? Then the mark of the beast of Revelation 13 will set in, because he holds all the commerce, trade, and everything of the world. And what will take place then? The mark of the beast will come in, that no man can buy or sell except him that has the mark of the beast. Thank God the church will be enjoying a great 3.5 years in glory. Don't have to go through it. You see, if Satan has a kingdom, he's got to have a false economy. He's got to have something that he can present to them to make them think that they're living. But it's absolutely on the vice versa. It's death in the form of life. All right. It's all here. In July, we start the CBD. All right. Now, I don't know possibly I don't know how long they're going to let you use credit cards, but eventually it'll be one credit card with a national number on it. And that number will be the mark of the beast. And you will be sucked into the system and go along with it because you need your money out of the bank. So I'm telling you, I'm warning you right now, get it out. As much as you can live on, get it out. All right? From Look Away to Jesus. So now I am going to say something to you that I haven't said all along, and that is the thing that we have looked forward to for so long, at least many years, 4 or 5 years or maybe longer. The third pole has now been vindicated, and I'm sure that you all know what it is. Now remember, there'll never be any impersonation of that, because it can't be. It can't be. Now, it's in existence, and I am warned of this, that soon, right after this time, it's just happened, so it could identify its presence among you. See, but it will not be used in a great way until this council begins to tighten up. And when it does, the Pentecostals and so forth can almost impersonate anything could be done. But when that time comes, when the squeeze comes down, then you'll see what you have seen temporarily be manifest in the fullness of its power. In other words, the seed that you're looking at will be manifested. And so will the third pole. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we realize, Lord, that Rome has just taken over. And she's done it subtly. She doesn't put her name in the paper. She puts the name of the Jews in the paper. But yet she's controlling it all. And she's manipulating it one step at a time with this WEF and all these other things. And she's got the billionaires have gone along with it. And they're selling out left and right like Esau. And Father, we just pray that you keep us from this and help us, Lord, just take us home. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, it's coming. You know, we still have I don't know what the date today is. Today is the 11th and spring is over in 10 days. So, we have 10 days and let's just be looking for it. I know he said we wouldn't know the day or hour that it takes place, but it's going to take place sooner than you think. And so just be ready for it because it's coming. All right. God bless you.